Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Madame Lottie Eisner, conservatrice en chef, that is, curator at the Paris Cinémathèque, Venice, September 5, 1968. Now, Madame Eisner, Lottie, may I?
Yes, of course.
Please tell us what the Cinémathèque in Paris is.
Well, it's, first of all, a film archive and a film museum. When I met Langlois first...
Henri
Langlois first, he just came out of school and dreamt only of films. And that time he saw about 6 films every day. His eyes burned. He was very slender then.
The Kitchen Sisters present Archive Fever, Henri Langlois and the Cinémathèque Française. When we began working on this whole new series, The Keepers, one of the things that was just in my head as we were beginning was a story I'd read. I thought it was maybe 2-3 years ago, but when we found it, it turned out to be from the October 20th, 2003 issue of The New Yorker called After the Revolution, Bernardo Bertolucci Revisits Paris by Louis Manon, or Luc Manon, as we've come to know him. It was about Bernardo Bertolucci making the film The Dreamers and the time in Paris in the 60s during the Nouvelle Vague, the new wave cinema and life at the Cinémathèque Française. And this extraordinary archivist, this mountain of a man, Henri Langlois. Let me just read you just a couple of lines. The Langlois affair began on February 9th, 1968. That was the day when Henri Langlois, the director of the Cinémathèque, which he had established in the mid-30s, with his friend Georges Franju, and dedicated to preserving and exhibiting movies from all periods and countries, was relieved of his position and replaced by a man named Pierre Barbin. Barbin was an obscure and relatively inexperienced film festival organizer, and Langlois was a culture hero, a status recognized even by his adversaries. He goes on to say one of the men who engineered his dismissal called him a rag picker of genius. Here's his story. Archive Fever, Henri Langlois, and the Cinémathèque Française.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Motion Picture Association of America, Mr. Jack Valenti.
Tonight, the Academy presents an award to someone who is not a maker of film, but is truly a savior of film. This man stood guard when no one else was there. The director of the Cinémathèque Française in Paris, the curator, collector, the conscience of the cinema, Henri Langlois.
He's an inventor. He's invented the French Cinémathèque. My name is Agnès Varda. I'm a French film director. I met Henri Langlois. The man was very impressive, fat and speaking very well, very smart about we should start to keep film, including the films we don't like.
The philosophy of Langlois was to save everything. The masterpiece, the unknown films, even the fascist films. I'm Jacques Richard, filmmaker. I started as an assistant of Henri Langlois. He loved cinema when he was a teenager. It was the moment where the silent film stopped and the talkies arrived.
The early 30s, they were destroying every silent movie. He started collecting all those movies, not just to save them for the future, but to show them. My name is Costa Gavras. I'm film director and president of the French Cinémathèque.
He started to pile boxes of films in the bathtub, up to the ceiling.
In the bathtub of his parents' flat, this is where the Cinémathèque started.
Langlois was there at the time where the film could set fire to any building where it was kept.
It was, of course, very dangerous. Those movies were like bombs, you know.
I used to travel with nitrate films in my sleeping car. And suddenly they have the idea it's dangerous, which is nonsense if you know how to handle them.
Cinémathèque Française curator Lottie Eisner.
When I met Henri Langlois in 1934, we tried to save the nitrate films. This was the beginning of our fight. They would have been lost and destroyed, and Langlois fought for that.
The director of a newspaper, Monsieur Harlet, gave me 5,000 francs credit to make the Cinémathèque Française. The money where I go to buy, with this money, Caligari.
Henri Langlois.
My first film for 100 francs.
And when you see a film like Caligari, you say, why did you not buy the cake or meat, an hamburger steak, to eat the film?
Langlois was conserving films, but he was also showing them, which was a big conflict at the beginning of the Cinémathèque, because a lot of directors of archives thought that if we have just one copy of a film, we should not screen it because you have a risk to damage the print and it could also explode. But Langlois thought you have to screen it because the public has to see that film.
Langlois' principle, just like people have to go for a walk, films have to run. If you just keep them in vaults, they die.
When I met him in 1941, in the middle of the Nazi occupation, Langlois was organizing projection of forbidden films.
Actress Simone Signoret.
Very first time I ever saw Potemkin was in his mother's tiny dining room. She was serving little pink cakes. We could have gone to jail just for seeing something which was forbidden.
During the war, he had all kinds of tricks to hide the film, stash them all over France in castle, the people he knew. It was incredible, the amount of film he saved and the crazy places we kept them.
I don't know how he did it. Going around and find movies being hidden by distributors and show them. The Dictator by Charlie Chaplin was shown during the occupation by Langlois. It was a kind of resistance.
Langlois would appear in the café de Flore and with a very mysterious look say, tonight, 8:30, at such and such a place, acting like a spy.
The Nazis censored German expressionist and American films, destroyed them. My name is Céline Rivaud, film curator at Cinémathèque Française. Henri Langlois had to hide thousands of films, switching cans, switching films. We are still discovering many different titles every month.
After the Second World War, there was this incredible appetite for seeing films. So much of cinema had been restricted from France. My name's Hayden Guest, director of the Harvard Film Archive. Langlois was able to create this intoxicating environment, screening films that hadn't screened for many years, had been forgotten.
By 55, 56, we were coming as many times as possible to see films. We were very young, just film buffs, addict film buffs. My name is Pierre Rissian, director, distributor, man of cinema. My first time at the Cinémathèque was in 1952 with a picture called Greed by Erich von Stroheim.
We had a very small showing room. It was on the Avenue de Messine, crammed full for 60 people, and there were 90 people in. And we used to say, There's still a little space. Little Truffaut sit here on the floor.
All the real fans and the real cinephile, they were always in the first five rows. That was the place to be. I'm Barbe Schroeder, filmmaker. The most important time in my life was when I started looking at movies seriously at the Cinémathèque. For me, it was like a school of movies and a school of life.
You know, I don't see what there is to be cagey about, Mr. Marlowe, and I don't like your manners.
Well, I'm not crazy about yours. I didn't ask to see you. I don't mind if you don't like my manners. I don't like them myself. They're pretty bad.
We were meeting after the movies and discussing in cafes. I had the luck to see the complete work of Howard Hawks, Mizoguchi, Bergman. There was a lot of fever in that love of cinema that we all had.
To La Gloire, it was important to show everything, even if it was a half of a movie, even a reel of a movie.
One day you might see an African film, a Japanese film, Chinese film with Turkish subtitles.
I have watched Brazilian film with Hungarian subtitles, reels not in the correct order. We knew this might happen, but we were confident it was meaningful because the most important dimension of what Langlois did, he made a work of art of programming film. My name is Jean-Michel Frodon, film critic and journalist.
The Cinémathèque was a kind of feeling, something like in a church, sacred, holy. My name is Patrick Bansard. I founded the Cinémathèque de la Danse. Langlois loved mystery. Nobody knew what was this movie coming from. There's no titles or this film is not silent, but there's no sound. It was a surrealistic way to transmit movies.
Langlois built a cinema language. He has seen that somehow certain works of art speak to each other, have some kind of common language. The way a body moves in a Japanese film and in American films, between the use of light in a Soviet film and a Spanish film, there is much more to see, to experience by bringing films together.
Henri, for me, was a poet and a magician. He had the genius to speak about the film, to give a feeling.
Langlois would talk about the movies very briefly, but he would give great phrases. Il y aura toujours des académiciens. There will always be academic filmmaking. This was his greatest hate. It was against academic filmmaking that the new wave existed. And it was because of Langlois that the new wave existed.
The new wave, Jean-Luc Godard, Jacques-Claude Chabrol, François Truffaut.
In the 50s, all the future directors of the Nouvelle Vague were there, seeing films not just like entertainment, but like something very serious, speaking about life, people, psychology.
They wanted to create a new type of cinema against the traditional way of making film from the famous French directors. Big crew and a lot of money. They were the first ones to bring the camera into the street to shoot with friends and girlfriends.
La jolie fille, le vilain garçon, le revolver, le gentil monsieur.
Young filmmakers such as Truffaut and Godard and Chabrol developed this fever, this passion for film by attending the screenings run by Henri Langlois. He was able to incubate a whole generation of filmmakers and thinkers through his visionary programming.
I never say to Truffaut, this is good, this is bad. He discovered himself.
Henri Langlois.
I have not teach. I have only give food on a table, and they eat the food, and more food, only films to see. Food, 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 food. This is my work, to show film.
I remember very well the premiere of Chelsea Girls by Andy Warhol. Nobody knew exactly who was Andy Warhol at that time. It was almost a riot. People, they said, Henri, this is not cinema. Why do you present this shit? And he said, my duty is to show movies. I present it as any other movie. And he found that Andy Warhol was important, but this was in 1966. He had the feeling of what could be the next thing.
I am Laurent Manoni, curator of the Cinémathèque Française. Ce n'était pas un historien du cinéma.
Langlois was not an historian. He had a relationship with movies that was passionate. He thought that movies were strong enough to awaken the spirit.
Langlois told them, if you stay at the Cinémathèque for 1 year, I can show you 100 films absolutely necessary to see, like Kurosawa, Mizoguchi, Samuel Fuller, Nicholas Ray, John Huston, the avant-garde of New York. If you stay to see this 100 film, then you're going to be able to make a movie.
I'm Wim Wenders, filmmaker. I was a poor, starving art student in Paris. It was in the middle of the winter, very cold. I was in bad need of a warm place. Somebody gave me the good tip to try the Cinémathèque, and I went there. It cost only 1 franc, so I started to go there from the early afternoon on, and I saw about 1,000 films in the realm of maybe a year. I saw for 1 franc a day the entire history of cinema.
Lottie, have the showings been free in the past, or have you charged admission?
Well, we charge very little, especially for students.
How many
francs?
It
was 1 franc
20 cents.
In the Rue d'Ulm. And 2 francs for students in the Palais de Chaillot. And I said to Langlois, what about it? Can't we take 1 franc more? And he says, no, we won't take any more. So
that's 20 cents or 40 yeah. cents. And how much for the paying public?
The paying public, 2 francs and 3. Henri Langlois says, we have to bring cinema culture to everybody. We can't be expensive.
Marie Merson, Lotte Eisner, Marie Epstein, trois femmes qui ont joué un rôle.
Marie Merson, Lotte Eisner, Marie Epstein, Langlois got support from a small team of 3 women. They were collecting and bringing copies of movies, devices, drawings from Hollywood, Germany, Russia, all over the world.
Marie Merson, la compagne de Henri Langlois.
Marie Merson was the partner of Henri Langlois. They had a very complicated love story. They met in 1938. She was a very, very beautiful woman when she was young. She was the daughter of a stage decorator. She was speaking lots and lots of different languages, Russian, Bulgarian. She had contacts. She could give a phone call to Kurosawa, to Eisenstein, to Fritz Lang. Everyone all around the world.
Beside Henri Langlois and Marie Merson, Lotte Eisner, historian of German cinema, was very important for the conservation of film and the museum. She go and see filmmakers and say to Werner Herzog or Fassbinder, you have to give something to the museum of Henri. And everyone, of course, gave her something. She always returned with a trunk full of things she could get from the filmmakers.
In 1958, we were promised to have a real museum. Malraux said, I want to make of your Cinémathèque the richest and the most beautiful.
In 1958, André Malraux became Minister of Culture when de Gaulle became the new president of the Fifth Republic. Langlois and Malraux were friends. He said to Henri Langlois, how can I help you? Langlois said, well, you can give me more money and help me build blockhouses outside of Paris so that we can save the nitrate films that are dying as we speak. Malraux got the Cinémathèque's budget increased, got him the Palais de Chaillot as the new theater and the space to build a museum. The agreement for Langlois was that he would allow government officials to sit on the board of directors.
We'll be right back. The Kitchen Sisters Present is sponsored by Casper, a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. You spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable.
The experts at Casper work tirelessly to make a quality sleep surface that cradles your natural geometry in all of the right places. Its breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. It's delivered right to your door in a tiny little box. You will not believe it. And you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. You can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/kitchensisters and using promo code kitchensisters at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. That's casper.com/kitchensisters. Promo code kitchensisters.
Henri Langlois was a thin and pretty guy when he was young, but with the time he became very fat, like Orson Welles or Hitchcock. The wife, Mary Merson, she became fat too.
Ils sont devenus de plus en plus gros, de plus en plus énormes.
They started getting bigger and bigger as the archives of the Cinémathèque was also getting bigger and bigger. Henri Langlois was a very original character, very eccentric, against the current in many ways. He had lots of friends and also lots of enemies.
There were problems in the Cinémathèque. Nobody knew what there was exactly, in what condition. It was, to a large extent, a mess. This huge archive, one of the three biggest ones on Earth, it was only based on voluntary deposit. Filmmakers would deposit a print personally to Henri Langlois. The only agreement they had, they can take it back whenever they want.
King Vidor was visiting Paris. The picture was shown at the Cinémathèque. After, we went with dinner with Langlois, Mary Merson. The morning after, we wanted to get back the print. The answer was, we don't know what happened. The print was lost. A few years later, Langlois made a tribute to John Boorman. And I said, John, one thing, at the moment the screening is finished, we go and take the print. So at the end of the screening, Langlois said, oh, it's wonderful. He said, let's go for dinner. I said, John, take the print. And, oh, no, we have to, I made a reservation for dinner. It's late. So we went for dinner, and the morning after, the print had disappeared.
He always had clashes with the government. They tried to make rules in exchange of the money they were giving.
The man who was in charge of government finances kept going to Malraux and saying, this Langlois guy, he's spending millions of francs. To do what? We don't see any results.
Henri Langlois would say, I know better than you. I am saving films every day, so just let me do my work, but keep giving me money. This is the reason why Langlois was fired.
There was this big international scandal. Mary Merson, Marie Epstein, and I, we all resigned. The young people, like Godard, they say, Langlois is our father, and he was kicked out. They immediately protested. Everybody, Fritz Lang, Picasso, Chaplin, Simon.
A big demonstration for Langlois in February 68 was the first time where we saw on the street of Paris the police beating artists and intellectuals. This was the starter of the French Revolution of 68.
I was there. The cops had clubs and the cops beat the people who were for Langlois.
I was part of the Jean-Luc Godard mini gang that was demonstrating for Langlois.
It was so big movement in Paris, they decided to stop Cannes Festival.
The Cinémathèque started to receive a telegram from filmmakers all over the world. Kurosawa, Alfred Hitchcock, Orson Welles, Fritz Lang.
I was staying at Fritz Lang's place in Los Angeles. The phone is ringing and it was Lottie Eisner. Lottie said, Fritz, we want your signature for Langlois. And he said, Pierre, you know everyone. You must get Raoul Walsh, John Ford, you know, Sam Fuller, Polonsky. I was in the streets of Los Angeles getting signature. Everyone was willing to fight for Langlois.
All over the cinema planet considered Langlois kind of a maverick king. They had this power to say they could remove the film from the archive. La Cinémathèque Française does exist because we made it together with Henri Langlois and for Henri Langlois. If you fire Henri Langlois, you destroy the whole thing.
And so, after 75 days, we got the Cinematheque back, but without state to help. And we three, Henri Langlois, Mary Merson and I, shall work for nothing, just to reorganize the Cinematheque.
You're going to continue the Cinematheque, but without money from the government.
Yes.
Well, how can an organization run?
Well, friends will help us, and we will have showings also in America, where they are very interested to see our treasures.
My first trip, I went in the 60s to visit the Cinematheque. I was very struck by an exhibit they had in the lobby, which was a big zoetrope, large, you know, maybe 3 feet in diameter, with a three-dimensional goose. When it spun, it looked like this goose was taking off.
Film director and producer Francis Ford Coppola.
I did meet Langlois. I remember once he was going to have a meeting at the French ministry, and he wanted to have his little Legion d'Honneur rosette on his lapel, which he didn't have. And I remember him taking a package of Camel cigarettes, stripping off the red cellophane, twirling it up on a matchstick, and putting that in his lapel because it looked like a rosette.
I'm Tom Luddy, co-founder and artistic director of the Telluride Film Festival. Henri Langlois, who's chaotic but totally brilliant. I met him around 1968. There was no Pacific Film Archive yet in 68 in Berkeley. So he came out. Henri bought treasures from the Cinematheque. He instantly liked all of us and liked our youth, our ideas. He wanted to build a coalition of non-bureaucratic Cinematheques. When I was running the Pacific Film Archive, was the last time he came, and the French government was giving the Legion d'Honneur to Jean Renoir, who lived in L.A. They wanted Langlois there to give it to him. And they had asked him to dress in a suit. He had kind of shiny dress shoes, which he had never really worn before. And he was too fat to bend over and tie his shoelaces, so I had to tie the shoelaces. Then he noticed that his black sock had a giant hole in it. He asked me if I had a pen, and I said I did. So he, with a black pen, filled in that spot. And he looked at me with a great smile and said, "Now I'm ready."
Jean Cocteau say Henri Langlois is dragon of the cinema, taking care of our treasure. This is written on his grave in Montparnasse. When Langlois died, he didn't have a family grave. He stayed for 1 year in a special grave for tramps. Finally, after 1 year, his brother bought a little grave, cheap, temporary, with no name on it. A lot of people gave a little money. We created an association to make a real grave to Henri Langlois, so we moved the corpse a third time.
A lot of people were there, Roberto Rossellini, Yves Montand, Simone Signoret, and they play music of Debussy with just a flute. So we are approaching this grave of Henri Langlois. It's a wonderful grave in glass, like the Pyramid of the Louvre, with 250 photographs of the cinema. I can tell you, because I come sometimes, that this is one of the most visited graves of the whole cemetery now.
My very first picture, The Goalie's Anxiety at the Penalty Kick, was shown by the Cinémathèque Française. I was proud as a young man could be. I was 26 years old. Yes, he kept my print of The Goalie's Anxiety. I tried hard to get it out of his hands again, but he said, no, I'd rather keep it. It's good that we have it. And I realized that's how he had assembled this amazing collection of thousands and thousands of films. He just kept them. And then it was, of course, a good thing that it was there, because it was going to be shown, and at least there was always going to be a print of that film.
with Langlois and with Cinémathèque. People learned not only to make movies, but how the movies have to play a role in our society.
Anybody who's in a film school today, you know about Langlois because this is where the films were preserved. He's the father of preservation in the world.
Langlois' influence educated a whole generation of film archivists and filmmakers. He spread the idea of the necessity of preserving films and saving the memory of mankind that is incorporated in the history of cinema.
You see with your own eyes, go back in the time, you see France, you see Paris, you may see also anything you want with cinema. Cinema is audio-visual art, but it is also a kind of media. Without time, without space, between men and cosmos.
Archive Fever, Henri Langlois and the Cinémathèque Française was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nilsson, with Nathan Dalton and Brandy Howell, mixed by Jim McKee. So many keepers to thank for this one. At the Cinémathèque Française, special thanks to its president, Costa Gavras, the director, Frédéric Bonneau, Laurent Mononi, Céline Rivaud, Elodie Dufour, Sylvie Vallon, and all the team that helped us with this story. Also in Paris, we thank Agnès Varda, Rosalie Varda, Barbé Schroeder, Jacques Richard, Jean-Michel Froudon, Patrick Bensard, Serge Bromberg, Dominique Paini, Georges Morier, Glenn Morant, Brigitte Lacombe, Marianne Lacombe, Richard Overstreet, Agnès Montanay, Stephen Barclay, Jerry Herman, and Pierre Ricien. Rest in peace, Pierre Ricien. Thanks also to Wim Wenders, Tom Luddy, and Francis Ford Coppola. At Harvard, we thank Luc Menon, author of the New Yorker article that inspired this piece, Hayden Guest, Tom Conley, and Rob Moss. Thanks also to Jacob Conrad, Ellen Lewis, Kent Jones, the Kronos Quartet, and DJ Spooky. The archival footage you heard came from Langlois, a film by Roberto Guerra and Ayla Hirshon, coming soon to the Criterion Channel on Filmstruck, with special thanks to Kathy Brew. Thanks also to the Pacifica Archives, where we found that interview with Lottie Eisner done in 1968 by Professor Herbert Feinstein. Further archival footage, we thank Elizabeth Thomas and the Museum of Modern Art Archives, Vera Sivani, the Scala Archives, and photographer Enrico Sarsini. In Paris, we also thank for translations and tape syncs Laura Brimo, Delphine Dealey, and Sarah Elzas.
Special thanks to the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art works.
The Kitchen Sisters Present is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary cutting-edge podcasts created by independent producers.
Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.